Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just lead us the rest of this evening, that your word would move within our hearts, that our hearts would be moved to know you, that we would be open to your voice and desire to hear your voice. Lord, you said we don't have because we don't ask. So we're asking, God, that you would just reveal your heart to us tonight, and how you feel about us and how you love us and all the potential that we have in you and walking in the ways of your truth and your light. I just thank you for your love. I ask that your love would truly manifest in this room in a powerful way before we depart from this house. I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn there? I just want to go through this before I share a little bit about love tonight, because tonight I just want to speak about how much he loves us and how huge it is and how vast it is and how powerful it is, and that I think I know just about this much, you know, of God's love. There's so much more available to me, to you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, many of you know this scripture, and I remember going to Westville Correctional Center for 5 years. I was teaching in there, and I remember every class that I had, I would teach on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because I knew that love was the answer. I knew that if we could memorize that entire chapter, that we would have the word in us that would hopefully be an anchor for us and also to guide us and to lead us in the days ahead, because the answer is found in love. Love does never fail. It never fails. And God's love is what will sustain us, that will help us, that will carry us, be able to walk through any situation that comes our way because of love, not because of how strong we are or our own will or just, you know, who's around us, how much money we have, or, you know, what good job we're having or whatever. That's not going to get us through, but love will get us through. And love will never fail us. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I don't know if many of you have just heard a cymbal clang for a while, but it's a pretty annoying sound. And it is, if we don't have love, we're pretty annoying. At least I am. I know you guys aren't, but I am. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge and I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am absolutely nothing. Again, boom, zip. Verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, so everybody sees, man, I gave everything and I fed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul goes into the definition of love, and he says, love is patient, love is kind, and it is not jealous, love does not brag, and it's not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it's not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices within the truth. That's a powerful one, especially in these days that we're living in, but rejoices in the truth. And tonight, I want to stand in the truth. I want to speak in the truth. I want to share my heart in the truth. And the only way that I can do that is if I'm transparent from a place of love. If I try to be something I'm not, then I'm trying to impress someone. But if I really love him and allow his love to love me, then I can really be just blunt with all of you about where I'm at and where I'm headed and where I've been. Because if I don't have love, I'm absolutely nothing. I'm just a gonging, clanging cymbal. Verse 7, I think. We'll start there. It's good. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then the great, great verse, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child and think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three things, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. I, tonight, wanted to just share with all of you about how he loves us and how he loves me. And that I could get up here and preach 1,000 messages. And I could dissect the word in the Hebrew and the Greek. But I tell you what, it's going to all come back to one thing. How did I love? How did I allow love to live through me? How did I allow Jesus to love me so that I could live? Because really, it's not about what people think of you. It's about how you allow yourself to be loved by God. You know, people can condemn you and say all kinds of foul things about you and lie about you. And you can, there's no doubt in this world, you can be done really wrong. But God's saying, let my love begin to break through in the midst of everything and watch what happens. And I believe that we know some of God's love, but there is a vast amount of God's love that he wants to bestow on us as a people. And when we live in that love, we can begin to live in truth because we can be truthful about who we are. When I got saved, when I got radically saved, I got saved and I heard people say, you're free, you know, you won't sin anymore and you're going to be all right, you know. And I almost think that sometimes that in the ways that we've done church, when we get saved and get in certain denominations and in certain settings, it's almost like we have to pretend like we're something that we're not. It's almost like for a while there, I was thinking I was being trained to learn how to be a hypocrite, okay? Because these folks told me I wasn't going to sin anymore and I was going to be fine. And guess what? I got saved and I kept sinning. And I was like, I mean, I didn't want to. There was really conviction there. But I kept sinning. So when that happened, I said, well, maybe this Jesus thing doesn't really work for me. Because everybody else is acting like they're just, you know, right next to Jesus on the throne up there. And I'm just like, I am really bleh. I am really missing it. I am really messed up because I sure don't measure up. But then the love of God began to move in my life. And Jesus said to me, when I began to think, man, I'm not going to be able to do this, Jesus began to speak to me and said, I'm not letting you go. I won't let you go. And I thought, you're going to let me go. I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm going back. I won't let you go. No, I'm completely doing a 180. I'm out of here. And I remember, you guys laugh at me. Well, hopefully you won't laugh too much. But when I first got radically saved, you know, I just was radically saved, and I was a pain, and really nobody wanted to be around me because all I could do is preach in their face, you know, and I thought that was the way you did it. And, well, you got to understand, I got radically saved in the Catholic Church through a strong charismatic movement. I have some amazing Catholic friends that are on fire for Jesus. And so when I got radically saved and I started preaching, because this priest led me to Jesus, he preached the gospel, and I got radically saved. And many of you have heard the story, some of you haven't, but the first time I heard these nuns singing, I thought they were singing in Latin. I was in a little worship circle with some nuns, and the priest took me there, and I thought they were singing in Latin. I said, is that Latin? And he said, no, they're singing in tongues. I'm thinking, tongues? What's tongues? And pretty soon I found out what it was. And God really, really turned me upside down. Well, I didn't go well in the Catholic Church. The only thing I could do was be a reader. Yeah, I don't know if you know what that means, but I could get up and I could read the scripture before the priest would speak. That was the only thing I could do. And I thought that was something, you know. And I remember the priest really wanted me to become a priest. I am. But he really wanted me to be a priest in the Catholic Church, so he took me to monasteries. And I would spend the weekend at a monastery, and I would hear the brothers get up like at 2 o'clock in the morning and sing a cappella hallelujah choruses. And I couldn't figure out how all these guys could sing because they were beautiful. And I remember, oh, I think I'm going to be a priest. And of course, that didn't go well with a lot of folks, and eventually didn't go well with me. And I took off, man. I got out of there. So the point I'm making, I'm testifying to you, but the point I'm making is that love never let me go. Jesus kept pursuing me. Have you ever heard the term the hound of heaven? Okay, the hound of heaven will not get off your trail. So if you're even struggling right now and fighting and wrestling and trying to say, man, this word really isn't, you know, what it's all cracked up to be, or if you're running, he is not going to, you will be the most miserable person. You will act like you got it going on, but you don't have it going on. And he will prove it to you time and time again. And he's not proven to you, he doesn't want you, matter of fact, he doesn't want you to be religious. He wants you to be a man or a woman that is completely, absolutely in love and can receive the love of God to give you your identity and your destiny and who you are. And that love is this, I don't even know if this is right, but that love is vicious. It is vicious. And there's a different definition for vicious when I say that. It's vicious. It will knock everything out of the way to get to you. And you think you're hiding out. What is this thing where we compartmentalize sometimes our thinking? Where we think that, you know, God doesn't know everything about us or know who we are. And doesn't know what he's really getting himself into. He must not know any of that. He knows everything. And this is the thing about love. He knows it all, but he still embraces you and runs after you. All the crazy stuff you've done and how you've turned, he knows it all. He knows every thought. But he still wants you in his family. That's love. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. So he won't let you go. And I felt like the Lord said to me, we'll work through this. Don't worry. We'll get on the other side of this. And I just thought, no, there's no way. Then I would hear him. And I would hear this scripture, and then I would hear him speak to me. You need to know that what I've started, I will finish. The work that I've begun in you, I will complete, and I will finish it. Because he said to me, I am a faithful finisher. I will finish the work that I started in you. The only reason that it will not get finished is because God's love will not override our free will. But if even tonight, if we say, I say yes to you again, Lord, he will finish the work that he started in you. But you and I both have to come into this place of agreement. In the agreement to say, I'm not going to give up. I don't care how much I've messed up. I don't care how many mistakes I've made. I don't care how many times I've fallen into sin again and again. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep saying yes to love and yes to the Lord. And keep walking and keep pursuing God. Keep pressing in. And I wrote down, keep confessing. Repent and confess your sin before God. And he will begin. If you hold on to it and you begin to move and not confess it or repent to the Lord, then that shame will just cause you to begin to move farther and farther away from him. All you need to do is repent and ask him to forgive you of your sin, and he will forgive you. He will put you back on track, but you got to trust him, you got to believe, and you got to let love have its way in your life. Love has to have its way. I won't let you go. I kept hearing that over and over again. I won't let you go. I won't let you go. And there's no one, listen to me, there is absolutely no one has the authority to condemn you. No one. No one has authority to condemn you. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. When you're in the love of God, it doesn't matter how many people step up to the plate. None of those people have authority over God. None of them have authority over you unless you let them have authority over you. No one can condemn you. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So when people condemn you and say things to you, they can't have their way if you're positioned in a place of love. Do you hear what I'm saying? No matter what they say, love will overcome what they're saying to you or what they're saying about you. Because in that place of love, you will find victory, you'll find peace, you'll find authority. You'll also find the destiny and reason why you're here in love. That's why it's so important that God is love. When someone says that love wins, it means God wins. I know we've heard that phrase, love wins. Well, let me just share this with you. When I heard that phrase, the first time I heard that phrase lately, through the media and through circumstances, I heard it coming from Charleston, South Carolina. And I heard it a testimony saying that we are not going to allow hate to win. We're going to allow love to win and love to have its way. And that was a testimony of the truth of Jesus and the power of the Spirit of God living in individuals that have said yes to the Word of God, yes to the lifestyle of God, and they weren't going to let hatred have its way in their life. You don't say that unless you're in a place of love. You don't say that unless you're in a place of the Spirit. You will not say that unless you're manipulating or trying to make yourself seem like you're spiritual. But you won't say that. So that's where love wins. That's where it came from. And when I read the scripture, because I believe that Jesus is real. I believe that Jesus is absolutely resurrected and alive. I believe he is. And I'm okay with other people if they want to believe a certain way, but I believe that he's alive, and it's not a religious argument for me. Because my experience that I have had with him, no one can take that away from me or from you. And I found the Word of God, these 66 books in the Bible, to be huge in how they coordinate together and the depth of the Scripture and the wisdom of God. And you can always tell if somebody has taken time to study the Word of God or if somebody just has an opinion about the Word of God. There's a big difference. So there's no one who can condemn you. Because Jesus says, I don't condemn you. And if I don't condemn you, no one can. And I kind of explain what that means. Who can even bring a charge against you, Robert? Bob, who can bring a charge against you? No one. You know why? Because, Bob, you are mine. You're mine. I bought you and paid for you with the price of my own blood. You're mine. So don't let anybody try to condemn you. You're mine. Matter of fact, if you want to take it another step, everything is his. Every breath that you take is his. Everything is his. He created everything. The creator of all things. The uncreated one who created everything. You are mine. Everything is mine. So I come to the conclusion that if I'm living in love, then I'm going to live in his mercy. I'm going to live in his love, but I'm going to live in his mercy. And I'm going to live in the affections that I find that he has for me. He's affectionate for me. I'm going to live in the affections that God, who is love, has for me. I was talking with my sister earlier, and when, you know, we're always praying unceasingly, but when we don't have that time where we can spend alone just, you know, with him, man, you just feel like, man, I'm just missing out on the affections and the emotions and the love of God. And when I have that, boy, that centers me. When I position myself to let that happen, and it is available, it's available to you and to me always. I live in his affections that he has for me. You see, God looks at me. He looks at me and he looks at my faults. He knows all about them. He looks at how many times I fail. He looks at my pride, he looks at my sin, and he still says to me, I want you in my family. And I'm like, what? I want you in my family. The Father says that to us. The Father says, I have allowed my Son to die so you can really be in my family. When my mom and dad died, they died 6 months apart. And when that happened, it was pretty tough because it doesn't matter if you have or you don't. It doesn't matter how old you are. And you feel like an orphan, you know, when mom and dad, boom, in 6 months, they're both gone. That's gone. It's not going to ever happen again. I mean, you know, no more gatherings. And I remember at that moment just feeling like, oh, and I was so excited. I always testify about this. Prayed for my father for 8 years that he would get saved. And, you know, everyone would say, man, his nickname was Doc. And he said, man, you can keep praying, but I don't think Doc's ever going to get saved. You know, Doc was just, he was a tough guy and stubborn. Anyway, stop right there. He's in heaven right now, forgiven and not condemned. His son's up here preaching about him. But anyway, he got saved, radically saved, a month before he died. And the Lord just began to speak to me about, although I felt like an orphan, that no, I'm part of a bigger family. I have a father in heaven who really loves me. And I'll be honest with you, the only way that I have made it through the days of disappointment and discouragement, because my God is not a God of discouragement. He's not. And the only way I've made it through that is by the love of God. The love of God. When people would view things in a different way, even toward our family, that hurts sometimes. I would say, no. We're here because of God. We're here because of love. We're here because we're part of a bigger family. And I'm excited about that. A little bit, maybe too excited, because the death thing, if you're saved and born again, it really doesn't mess with me that much. It hasn't. You know, if I lost someone again close, probably, yeah, I'd grieve. Of course I would. But the fact is, when you get a revelation of love and a revelation of heaven, and you know it's just not, as we've always said, a cloud and playing a harp, you know it. You know that heaven is coming to earth. Jesus the King is coming back to rule and reign for all eternity. And he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. And he sets his throne up in Jerusalem. Even now, we have such hope of what's going to happen. There's a mosque in Jerusalem right now, the Dome of the Rock. But someday, the temple will be there, and Jesus will be ruling and reigning from that place. And that's the hope that we have. Even though we see that now, we know that he's coming. And it says when he sits on his throne, that rivers will flow from the east and the west out of his throne, and he will replenish the entire earth with the movement of the water that flows from the throne of God, that springs up from his throne. And that you and I will rule and reign on the earth for all eternity with him. A thousand-year millennial reign is genuine and real. That's why he's alive. I said here lately that I think some of the reason why even marriage has been exalted to the covenant of God, the covenant that God has, is between a man and a woman. And all of a sudden now it's been exalted in our laws and our ways, which is not the ways and the laws of God. And I think that even now, that as that is being attacked and things are shifting and changing, I believe because soon there's a whole lot of scripture about the marriage of the Lamb, meaning the bride of Christ. We're called the bride of Christ. The Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, at the end of the age. And that there's a preparation that's being made. And some men, some of you guys, we've talked about this. You may have a hard time with that. But just like it says, the sons of thunder, it means women and men. The bride of Christ, it's talking about a relationship that is a covenant. It's not in the way we think of it, in a sexual way or anything weird like that. It's about a covenant of relationship for all eternity that is a high covenant in God. And that we will be unified with him for all eternity, ruling and reigning. As he is called the bridegroom conquering king, is coming back to rule and reign. Up from Edom with his robe stained in blood and everything that hinders love on the face of the planet, he will do away with. He's not a baby in a manger. He's not a broken man on a cross. He comes back as the conquering king. And that's the hope that we have. That's why there's hope in the Word of God that speaks about that, that we know things are shifting and changing. That's why eternity doesn't really mess with me. It doesn't bother me because I know that death is not death. I know that death is the beginning of life. I know that my spirit man that is, you see my mouth talking right now, my physical body, but there's a spirit man inside of me that's eternal. And that is going to live on and on. That's the essence of who I am. And that's going to be right soon as like in less than a second. You know, if someone says, hey, if you don't believe in Jesus, I'm taking you out. Go ahead. You're going to take me out and put me in the presence of my Jesus like that. Go ahead. Have your way. I mean, that's the reality of people that know the Word of God and that have faith and that have love And so all of you, every one of us, are at different levels of walking in our love and our faith. But the fact is, we can't give up. We got to keep saying yes to the Lord. We got to allow him to love on us and to forgive us and to move in our hearts. He wanted us in his family. The Father says, I paid for you by my son's life. And all I can say to you and to myself is that's love, folks. That's love. That's what love is all about, is laying your life down for someone. That kind of love is like a mega love. It's off the charts. There's no chart for that kind of love that he has for us. That's love. He sees all that I am. This is a biggie. I said it probably twice already. He sees all that I am, and he still loves me. He sees all of my failures, all that I am, and he still loves me. It's huge. We speak about it all the times. It's huge. You know, like I said earlier, it just is not even, sometimes we think that he doesn't see everything. Like, he doesn't know all about us. I use the word mess for me. I won't use it for you. But I got to tell you, he knew the mess he was getting in when he went after Bob Deering and wouldn't leave him alone. He knew the mess he was getting into. See, when I know that, he knew what he got into. So, oh, you still love me? Yes. He knew who, what he was getting into. He still went to the cross. That's another thing. Now, this is stepping out a little bit, but I think he knew, he knows all of us, and he knew all of us. And he still went to the cross based on my mess. That's huge. That'll preach anywhere. I think that's, he went to the cross based on my mess. There you go. God knew you and I were going to be messy. And the cross is about our mess. His love is that big. And I'm going to wind this up. We're going to watch a video. I'm going to close here. And at the end of this video, I'm going to have some folks come up. And if Josh is still here, maybe on the guitar. And we're just going to, if you want prayer, however you want to be prayed for, just to be overwhelmed by the love of God. And if you want to come back to him, if you've never, you know, allowed him to be in your life, or if you need to know that he loves you. One of the things I wrote down, and I've said this forever, I don't ever want to live on my front porch and live and be in the rocking chair of regret. Regret. I don't ever want to live that way. I want to live open and ready because he loves me. The cross of Jesus. I'm going to close with this. The cross of Jesus and the love of Jesus justifies who I am. The love of Jesus and the cross of Jesus justifies who you are. And no one can condemn you. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. That's it. I don't want to live without that kind of love. I don't want to try to make decisions without that kind of love. I don't want to raise two boys without that kind of love. I don't want to be in a marriage without that kind of love. I don't want to minister to people without that love having its way in my life. And I sure want to be around people that got that love because I need it too. Because I'm not always the nicest guy. And so I need that love back. I need to be loved even when I make mistakes. See, that's almost like a huge challenge for us. Like what Stan was saying about Nancy, that your love is measured by how you love the least. Ooh. Punch, punch, slam, slam, you know? I mean, that's like, ah. That's what God wants to do, is to change us. Okay, let's set it up. Let's set that video up. If you can turn off the lights, and I want you to watch this video. It's about 7 minutes long, and then we're just going to open up the altar. It has a little bit of similarity of what I was going to say.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah, give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father. When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell! And the urges of sin will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own merit, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one, and he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me and say, no, son. Let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. And I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free. It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
Why don't you go ahead and stand, if you would, if you can see where you're standing. Holy Spirit, I just ask for you to come. I ask that in this moment, in the power of your word, in the power of your presence, Lord, I ask that if there's any men and women in here today that want to give everything to you, that don't want to live in shame, don't want to live in condemnation, but want to live in you. I ask, Lord, that you would give them strength just to come forward and that we would pray over them, that they would live in the love of Jesus, that they would know that from this day forward, Jesus is enough. Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, you move. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to them that if this is really a moment that changes things in their life. I ask that you give them courage right now to even come forward as we're up here just ready to pray. So we're just going to wait for a moment. If the Lord just really brought some things to light, and if you know that today is a day that you need to just be prayed for and just give it all to him, I just want you to come up. And do it because God has tugged at your heart today, tonight. Spirit, have your way. Bring freedom tonight. That tonight we could bring everything to Jesus. Every failure, everything to Jesus. And that we leave tonight with him. And that his love is enough. That his love will change us. overwhelm us. That tonight we would feel the affections of the love of God. Have your way tonight, God. Have your way, Jesus. Holy Spirit, fall. I want all of you to be praying for them. Yes. Tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus is enough. He's all that I need. Lord, I ask that you would overwhelm every man and woman here, even in the night seasons, God, that you would give us dreams and visions, and that you would, Lord, I just pray, you said that I've been seated in the heavenly realm with you, and as we all have been, and we have authority in your name, and I just pray, God, that through this prayer, that you would just move and on every man and woman in this place tonight, that they would not be able to run from you, that you would, that your love would break everything that needs to be broken, that your love would break through in their lives like never before. Lord, for those that have never felt the love maybe from their father or their mother, Lord, I ask that you would come in and overwhelm them with a father's blessing and a father's love, because we don't have right definitions of fathers. And so, Lord, I just ask that tonight that you would overwhelm them and that you would be their daddy, their papa, the one that they could trust, that you're not mad at them, that you love them and you desire for them. You have a plan and a purpose for them. You desire to bless them. So we thank you, God. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the victory that we decreed at the beginning that is happening now in the lives of your family. Thank you for our family. Thank you for our future. I just sense a momentum growing in the body of Christ all across America and the world. Just a momentum that the song of the Lord is going to be sung. There's a new song, a song of passion and love. So let the new song just begin to break the yoke and break the chains. Lord, I ask for new creative songs to flow out of musicians. I ask that they not just do the same old songs they've done. I ask for a new flow, a new wine, a new anointing of just your songs, your creativity flowing through your people, that would bring forth conviction and bring forth love and bring forth exaltation of who you really are. Thank you. We just love you. We give you praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.